Welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter, my love, and discover. Hello, beautiful, and welcome back to the Divine Feminine CEO. Today, we are diving into one of my favorite topics, and it might not be a topic that you've experienced much in your life or explored. Today, we're going to be talking about rites of passage, ritual, and everyday ceremony, and we'll talk a little bit about what each of those things mean. But the reason I want to talk about this today is that, to be honest, our world has become a little bit dry, a lot fast-paced, and what that ends up creating is really a lack of sanctity in our lives. And when I say sanctity, I mean intention, recognition, holding of one another. We are going all the time. We have a lot of information that we're consuming. We have a lot on our plates, and what we're missing is ceremony. We are missing those punctuations, those containers that allow us to hold the big things that happen in life and really help us move through life, not just with grace, but with our full power and presence. And we'll talk about why in a moment. But first, I want to tell you a few stories. And you may not know that for most of my young life, until I was a senior in college, I actually wanted to be a rabbi. My parents weren't particularly religious when I was growing up, but I was always drawn to community and spirituality. And it's funny because when I see kind of where I am now, at the time, my only frame of reference for what spiritual leader or community nurturer looked like was a rabbi in the Jewish community. And so when I was a teenager, I did a lot of work in the Jewish youth movement. I was very active, and I was the religious and cultural vice president for my youth group. So I've actually been creating and leading ritual and ceremony since I was a teenager. And as I've moved into motherhood in my adult life, I've done a lot of training in what that looks like outside of the context of religion. Now, I still consider myself to be Jewish, but as you may have heard me talk about before, I don't necessarily see religion and spirituality as the same thing. And when it comes to ceremony, it actually doesn't have to exist under either of those umbrellas. Ceremony can be something that is about healing, about restoration, and about creating connection with people. So whether you consider yourself to be a religious person, a spiritual person, or simply a modern person who needs a little more care and holding through life, this episode is for you. So I want to tell you a story to kind of bring to life what ceremony can do. Because when you think about ceremony, you know, pause for a moment and what comes to mind? Well, when I was a kid, the idea of ceremony would have made me think about maybe a Friday night service at my temple. Maybe for you, it calls to mind experiences of going to church. Or maybe you didn't do any of that growing up and ceremony is a wedding for you. Maybe it's a baby shower. These moments, these punctuations where we take a pause from everyday life to slow down and say, hey, something is happening here. Let's create a space, a container to hold this, to witness it, to celebrate it as a community so that we can support the person who's moving through it. So in a little bit, we'll talk about what that looks like for an individual because ceremony doesn't have to happen within a community setting and what it looks like when we do explore this in community. Because as a society today, we know how to celebrate. You know, we do birthdays, we do weddings. We're pretty good at recognizing when something is good has happened that's worth celebrating. You know, you get a promotion at work and you crack out a bottle of champagne. That's a little ceremony right there. But in a lot of cases, we've lost the ability to sanctify. So what's the difference between celebration and sanctity? Well, celebration is simply taking the time and the space to recognize through joy something good that has happened. But here's the thing. When we take our pauses, our recognitions, or those moments of recognition to the next level, and we make them sacred, again, all sacred means is intentional. What this does is it creates what I call a container for the experience, sort of an energetic container to hold the experience. And really, it acknowledges that something has happened. And it creates a frequency that is different from what we experience in our moment-to-moment day. So when you crack out that bottle of champagne, we don't do that all day, every day. The frequency that it evokes is one of excitement, celebration. There are bubbles in the champagne. The bubbles bring to mind like an effervescence, that this joy that's bubbling up. That's a frequency. It's a feeling. It's not just, you know, receiving the paper that says you just got your promotion. It's adding movement, color, taste, sound. Bringing in the other senses to create an experience, a resonant experience that goes beyond the cut and dry. So most birthday parties are celebrations, not necessarily sacred, though they can be if you structure it that way. But when you think about something that is more like a rite of passage, so a bar or bat mitzvah, which is the Jewish coming of age ceremony, communion in the Christian faith, a wedding, whether you're religious or not, these are sacred events because they have containers that are built in. So I'm going to tell you a little story about my wedding, and maybe this will bring to life kind of what ceremonial containers can do for you. Because again, whether you are religious or spiritual or none of the above, you can leverage ceremony and rites of passage to recognize what you're going through in life and to receive witnessing and support. So we'll talk about that in a moment, but first, I want to tell you a little bit about my wedding, and I love sharing this story. I actually haven't thought of this in many years now, but Dan and I are celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary in about 3 weeks, and when I think back to our wedding, really that whole week, it's one of my fondest memories in life because that whole week was like a sacred container for us. And Judaism has some beautiful traditions. Judaism is actually very good at ceremony for the everyday. There are lots of little ceremonies for many things, but one of the types of ceremonies that Judaism does is called a mikvah. It's a ritual bath, and you can do it before having a baby, but you also do it before your wedding. And it's the ceremony that basically makes you a bride. So the week before my wedding, and this is traditionally done with other women. It's a very joyous celebration. It feels a lot like a women's circle. And this was kind of my first taste of what it might be like to be held and celebrated by other women. So I remember driving over to the mikveh with my mom, my sister, two of my best friends, and one of my rabbis met us there, my female rabbi. And I walked in. You know, there are certain ceremonies that you go through to actually get into the ritual bath. But once I was there, we said some prayers, but then we sang and we laughed and we danced. And it was this moment of ecstatic joy. And it was highly, highly intentional. And when I got out of the ritual bath, I was now a bride. And in the Jewish tradition, from the time that a bride exits the mikveh, exits the ritual bath, to when she gets married, she has the power to bless people. Now, blessing isn't really something that's done in other parts of the Jewish culture. So this was my first exposure to like, oh, I can bless someone? What does that even mean? Well, what it meant was that I was holding a resonant frequency. And I did feel different when I got out of the ritual bath because I had been witnessed. And that's the first thing that ceremony and rites of passage and ritual does for us when done in a community setting, is that it allows us to be witnessed in whatever we are experiencing. This is really, really important. It's important when we are moving through the happy things in life, like a wedding, like a birth. It's also really, really important when we move through the darker parts of life. Miscarriage, divorce, loss of a spouse or a parent. These are the times when, as a society, we kind of want to turn a blind eye, largely because we're not comfortable with grief. We don't know how to hold people in their grief. And that is partly why ritual and ceremony is so important, because it creates a container where it's safe for us to hold one another, where it's intentional. And in fact, the container actually does a lot of the work for us. So what was really interesting was that after I went through my ritual bath, I felt this sense of calm, peace, grace settle over me. I was so relaxed. My sister and my bridesmaid started calling me Bridezilla. So you know how Bridezilla is a term? I was literally the other end of the spectrum. I was Bridezilla. And while in this container, you know, before I went through my actual wedding ceremony, it was like nothing could bother me. I remember my sister was so worried because somebody stepped on my dress, my wedding dress, the day of, and they got a little stain on it. And she didn't want me to know. And when I found out, I was like, whatever. That's okay. I'm getting married today. I am the bride. And I remember feeling for the first time like I could share this frequency, I could share this joy with everyone else who was in the container with me. So just think back to your wedding, if you're married or if you've ever been married, and what that ceremony was like for you. Did it begin before the day of your wedding? If so, what did that feel like, and how did it change the way you interacted with the people around you? The other reason ceremony is important, and rites of passage specifically, is that they honor transitions that we're moving through in life. We live in such a fast-paced world that often we don't take the time to slow down and really witness and honor the transition, whether it's our transition to motherhood, to marriage, whether we're going through menopause and we're no longer cycling. These are big transitions, and change is hard. You know, when we look at our kids, and they're growing quickly, they get growing pains in their muscles and their bones because change is hard, especially changes that happen fast. When we slow down to create some ritual around those transitions, we allow ourselves the space to move through them. It's a slowing down of what's happening in everyday life so that we can honor what we're already moving through. Because whether you slow down to honor it or not, these things are happening. We became mothers, we became parents, we became partners, we became wise women. This is all happening. But here's the thing. When we don't create the space, when we don't create the container to honor this in a community setting, sometimes it feels like we're alone in the change. But when we're able to do this in community, it's not only a way to announce to the world, this is who I am now. You know, this is why we invite people to our weddings. It's not to make it, you know, more legal. You signed the paperwork. It's already legal. You invite people to the wedding to share in the resonant frequency, but also to witness you in your change. Now, as a society, it's easy for us to look at weddings and say, okay, well, this is a wedding ceremony. You know, that's pretty cut and dry for most people. But what about all the other significant events that you have moved through? A divorce, a miscarriage, a chronic illness, healing from that illness. These are all big deals. And there's ceremony that we can do around all of it to allow ourselves to be held, but also to create a container for healing or whatever emotion, whatever needs to move in that moment. And this is really, really important. And I've talked a little bit on previous episodes about creating containers for grief specifically, but really this works for any large emotion or change, because when we are left by ourselves to experience something big, whether it's you are home from the hospital for the first time with your newborn and the joy and the overwhelm is overpowering, or you've lost someone who's important to you and now you have to go and grieve and release those feelings and you just don't know how to do it. You don't know how to let these feelings move. You've never done this before. You've never moved through this transition. And guess what, honey? You're not supposed to know how to do it alone. This is why for millennia, we lived in small villages. There were always women there. There were always women in circle. So when you had a baby, your mothers and your grandmothers were there. The women who became mothers before you were there guiding you through it, caring for you. When somebody died, whether it was a child or a spouse or a grandparent, the community was there holding you, watching your grief, helping you move through it. Now, in today's world of technological advancement, it's so easy to end up alone. In some ways, we're more connected than we ever have been before, but in other ways, we're far more isolated. Because while we may have mastered the material world, the mystical has been lost. The sacred has been lost. And in many ways, our sense of community is weaker than it's ever been before. Yes, we have social media. Yes, we have Facebook groups and LinkedIn. So on the surface, we're more connected. We can see what people want to share. But what we're not doing is creating sacred intentional containers to move us through the events and the transitions in life that need support. Now, ceremony doesn't just have to be for the big things, because what is a key part of ceremony? Well, it's slowing down. It's creating intentional space. It's taking a break from the light speed that you're moving at to do something that is for a purpose, that is for an intention. So we're also going to talk about everyday ceremony, because we don't have to save the ritual for the big things. In fact, I would urge you not to. The more you practice this, the more you can create mini containers of your own to do things like restore yourself or heal or celebrate the small moments in life. So we'll talk about that now, and then I'll give you kind of the steps for creating a ceremony and what that really looks like. But let's talk about some everyday rituals. And these can be very, very simple. Obviously we need ceremony for the big things, because that's typically where we need community to hold us. But this can all happen on an individual level as well. So let's talk about the healing bath. And I shared some more details about this on the episode, Making Your Home a Healing Sanctuary. But one of my favorite weekly or even daily rituals to do myself is to take a healing bath. Now, why do I do this? And why do I ritualize it? Well, sure, I can just run a bath and hop in the tub and read my Kindle while I'm waiting for my son to fall asleep. I can do that. And sure, it'll give me some relaxation and some restoration. But here's the difference between a regular bath and a bath around which we create ceremony. The first doesn't create an energetic container. So what I prefer to do is I add things to my bath with intention. I choose Epsom salt if my intention is to heal sore muscles. I'll choose bentonite clay if I want to detox or just get rid of some yucky energy that I can't seem to move. I'll choose essential oils that, again, align with that intention. So when I get into the tub, I have a very clear intention. Maybe the intention is my body is healthy and whole. Maybe my intention is I release that which doesn't serve me. But I pick an intention and I create a space, I create a resonant container that supports that intention. So I'm getting into the tub with that in the forefront of my mind, and my body's holding it. I might play some music that aligns with that intention. If I need a little more nourishment, I'll choose meditative music that evokes love. If I feel more joyful, I might pick a playlist that's a little bit more upbeat. The point is to create a container that has intention and then to evoke resonance around that intention. To really honor what that is during the experience. So when I'm in the bath, maybe I won't read my Kindle. Maybe I'll meditate instead. Or maybe I'll just listen to the music. Or maybe if I want to release something, I'll visualize that thing. And when I let the water out, I'll visualize it running down the drain. This is ceremony. This is ritual. And it changes the experience significantly. Now, it doesn't always have to be so beautiful. You can use ritual and ceremony for even the most mundane of things to make it more intentional. So think about cleaning your house. One of my favorite rituals to do is to clean my office. And usually I'll announce the intention. I put on my pump up playlist. I take some breaks to dance. And then when I finish, I look around the clean space. I express gratitude for the shift that has happened. And then I turn off the playlist. That's a very simple ritual. It's an everyday ceremony that elevates the intention of what you're doing to create a resonant container. So let's talk a little bit more about the steps for ceremony, because at this point you might be thinking, okay, I get it. You know, I want to be witnessed in my pain and in my joy. I want to claim the gifts of my initiations and my transitions in life. And I can see some spaces where I might do this. Yeah, you know, I had a miscarriage and I did feel very isolated. And, you know, I haven't quite recovered or received closure or mourned. And I feel like I need this. Or, yeah, sure, I'm a mother now, Rachel, but to be honest, I feel like my mother transition was never really witnessed by those around me. Yes, they see me as a mom, but they haven't really recognized me as the powerful, wise woman that I know I am now. And I want that. So let's talk about the steps for creating everyday or you know, bigger, more elevated ceremonies. And the first step is to create the container. You have to seal the space. And you can do that with just simply stating an intention. It can be as simple as, it's time to clean my office. My office will become clean now. You know, it's stating the intention to yourself, to those around you. It seals the space. If you've had experiences where you've been in temple or in church, I think of this as the moment where the doors close. It literally seals the sanctuary space, and your priest or your rabbi or your minister steps up to the front of the sanctuary and everyone gets quiet. In that moment, you move from chatter to ceremony. To use a totally secular example, think about a graduation ceremony. You know, all the parents and students are chattering in the audience, but then when the dean steps up onto the stage, everyone quiets and he says, it's time to begin. That is how you create your container. You seal the circle. Okay, so now it's sealed and you're here in this space and maybe you have other people with you. Well, just because you sealed the circle doesn't mean that people didn't bring stuff with them into the circle. Especially if we're doing this in the middle of a busy day, you know, we bring in the material with us. So you need to do something to kind of turn off the material and open up to the mystical. And when I say mystical, again, this doesn't have to be spiritual, though it can be for you if you want to create a channel for spirit. But you have to let the outside world drop away if you're going to be true to that intention. So this is the part of the ceremony where you want to evoke resonance. And resonance is simply a frequency. One of my favorite ways to do this is with music. Most people respond to music, so I like to create lots of different playlists. And I'll be sharing some of these in the coming weeks as we talk more about my Mother Change quiz that I'm going to be sharing very soon. It might actually be out at the time of this episode. And if you haven't taken it yet, go take it because you'll find out what your Mother Change archetype is. And I have a playlist for each of the archetypes so you can experience this resonance yourself. But essentially, you want to create something that evokes a feeling. Evokes the feeling of what you're trying to do in the circle. So this is why we play music when the bride walks down the aisle. It evokes resonance, and usually the song changes between the bridesmaids and the bride. It's so that we know the bride is coming. That's resonance. It changes the frequency of everyone watching that wedding because they know suddenly the moment feels more special. It feels more sacred. That's because you are now resonating on a different frequency. The outside world drops away. So when I run women's circles and I run sacred circles, you know, we might start with an invocation, an intention to create the container, but then I very often play a song. Or I lead a meditation, something to help the outside world drop away and evoke the resonant frequency of that circle. The other cool thing about this is that when you evoke resonance, it creates connection among the people in the container without them even realizing it, because it's on the subtle levels. Then there's the center of your ceremony, which is really just honoring whatever the experience is, whether you are doing a mother initiation and you're honoring that transition, if it's a birth, if this is a container for grief and a ceremony like a funeral or honoring a miscarriage, that's the part of the experience where you really honor that and you allow the person who needs to be held or celebrated or witnessed to be witnessed, to speak, to acknowledge what they have gone through and to allow them to claim the gifts of that experience. Because often if we don't take the space to honor and witness the experience itself, we can't claim the gifts. Whether those are the gifts that you claim when you step into motherhood or when you lose a baby. There are different gifts that come with each. And again, if you haven't taken the Mother Change quiz, go take it because it'll give you some more insight into what those look like. But we cannot fully claim them unless we have been witnessed. For example, when I lost my twins, we actually created ceremony with my rabbi afterwards. And I remember we did the ceremony in my parents' backyard near the creek, and it was beautiful. We were near water. Water is the element of grief. And we read poems, and I cried. And the poems were all about my love for my girls and my sorrow at losing them. And to have a big group of people watch me cry, to hold me while I cried, I mean, it was incredibly cathartic. And it allowed me to feel witnessed in my grief. You know, too often when we don't bring in ceremony as a tool, we are not witnessed. And that's a big problem because one of the gifts that I claimed coming out of that ceremony was resilience, was the ability to move through hardship. One of the gifts that we receive coming out of a wedding is the knowledge that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We have been witnessed by our community as one half of a pair now. We are a married couple, a family. Not just a me and a you. That's a big gift. That's a change in role. It's a change to your role in society and the types of contributions you make. Well, if your community doesn't see that you've made that transition, how can you take that role in society? How can you really claim those gifts? The same goes for those of us who become mothers and then very quickly become wise women. And this typically happens with my shadow mothers and my phoenix mothers. We experience tremendous shift in identity, whether that's through loss or through joy. But what happens on the other side is that we grow up really, really fast. There's a loss of innocence, and there's a stepping into this mantle of wisdom, this mantle of the wise woman. That's often not seen. And when our wisdom feels unappreciated, it makes it harder for us to step forward as leaders, as experts in our space, as the wise women that we are. And guess what? Who suffers when we don't step forward in that way? Well, we do, but also the whole world does, because then they can't receive our wisdom and our gifts. So this is where ceremony and ritual comes into play, because it not only empowers you as the center of the ceremony to be witnessed and to claim your gifts for yourself, to own that, to have people see, yes, I have these gifts, this is important and I am powerful, but it also tells everyone else. So now people know to open to that from you. And this is really, really important. So the last part of ceremony is closing with connection. And this can be to yourself or to others. It really depends on what kind of ceremony or ritual or rite of passage you're doing. If you're taking a healing bath, you might just end with a little minute of meditation to tune into yourself and see how you're feeling now. If you are in community, let's say you're at a wedding. Well, you might walk out holding the hand of your beloved. Or, you know, in the Jewish tradition, we do the hora. It's a big circle dance and everyone holds hands. I've seen this done at funerals as well. You know, everyone walks out with the mourning family together, holding one another. So the idea is that you are not alone. You are not alone in your experience. You are seen, you are held, and you are appreciated. Whatever you're moving through is not something that you have to handle by yourself. And we see you. We recognize the gifts that you are coming out with. And this is really, really important, my love, because you're here, you are a divine feminine CEO. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you weren't already a sovereign being who knows innately that she is a wise woman, that she is a leader. Do you feel like others recognize that in you? If you do, that's wonderful. But if you don't, you're not alone. And it's not your fault. Chances are you just haven't been in enough containers to allow you to fully claim your gifts as a woman, as a mother, as a leader, and to showcase that to your community. So, if you feel like you're ready to claim who you are as a mother, as a wise woman, and as a sacred intentional being, please email me, rachel@uncorporette.com. Please email me. I want to hear from you. And this is going to be a big, big part of my work moving into 2022, is bringing not just everyday ceremony, because yes, there's so much that we can do around this to heal and restore ourselves as mothers, and we'll talk all about that, but facilitating some of these bigger ceremonies and initiations as well, in particular, the loss initiation. So learning to create ceremony to honor and reap the gifts from loss of a pregnancy, loss of a child. But also for those mothers who have not lost a child, it's the loss of innocence, who you were before you became a mother, because we can't move into our full being until we've released who we were before. And sometimes there's grief that comes with that too. Honoring the transition to motherhood, to wise woman, because not all mothers feel like they're instant wise women. Not all of them do, but chances are if you're a shadow mother or a phoenix mother, you do. And you probably feel like others don't see that in you. And you are not alone, my love. So we are gonna have a variety of different events coming up. I'm planning to host a spring retreat out at my family's ranch in April. which I'm very excited about. We are in the midst of building a little wellness center out there. And we're going to be able to do ceremony on the land and be in a sacred circle of women together to do some of these motherhood initiations, these pregnancy initiations. So please reach out, because really there are two components here. There's the everyday ceremony that we need to care for ourselves as sovereign sacred beings and as mothers who really need more care. And then there are the bigger ceremonies to help us move gracefully through these transitions in life so that we can claim the gifts that are waiting for us, because that is the beauty of ceremony. I remember when I had my bat mitzvah when I was 13, it's the Jewish coming of age ceremony, and that's the recognition of I'm a woman. And I viewed myself differently after that ceremony, I really did. And not only that, I knew that my community viewed me differently. They saw me as a woman. They saw me as a young adult. I was no longer a child, and everyone knew that. That empowered me in new ways. That allowed me to really claim my sovereignty as a young teenager. This is what we need to bring into our day-to-day life, because the more that we can honor ourselves as sacred beings, as wise women, as leaders in our families, in our communities, and in our fields of work, the more good we can do for the world, and the easier it is for us to claim our power. Because I see you, my love, and you have massive gifts within you. You have massive power, and it's time for you to start claiming it. And if you've listened to this podcast to this point, well, you're ready. You are ready to claim it. So email me, rachel@uncorporette.com. I'm going to be talking a lot more about this. If you're not already following me on Instagram, please do. My handle is @uncorporette, and I have amazing content going out this month. I'm working with a new branding company, and we have beautiful photos that are really evoking all of these mother archetypes that I've been talking about, the shadow mothers, the phoenix mothers, the legacy mothers, and the power mothers. So go take the Mother Change Quiz. It's motherchangequiz.com. Find out which archetype you are, and then start feeling into those photos, because we talked about evoking resonant frequency. Well, guess what? When I was posing for those photos, I was feeling into you. I was feeling into your archetype and your resonant frequency. So you may see some images on there that feel like, oh my gosh, that is a piece of my soul. Well, that is the resonant frequency. And if you're drawn to it, heed that. Heed that inner voice, reach out, and we'll talk about working together. As I'm recording this, it is July. I'm about to head to Hawaii on vacation, and this episode will probably air at the end of August or in September. So moving into fall, I likely will begin to open up some offerings. I don't know yet what they are. I am noodling on an offering that is specific to shadow mothers to really move you through your grief, create the right ceremony to honor your loss, and to claim the gifts that come with being a shadow mother, because I'm a twice shadow mother myself, with my three girls that I have lost. And so this is a path that I understand deeply. And then for my Phoenix mothers, many of you return to work after having kids, and after a period of time realize that it is not serving who you are. So many of you I know already are starting businesses. So I'm probably going to open up my business program in some form. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know what it is that you want and need right now. So please email me, rachel@uncorporette.com. And you can follow me on Instagram @uncorporette. Feel free to reach out with any questions around ceremony. I know that for many of you, this is it's a new concept, and you may have had a taste of this, and I'd be curious to know which parts of this episode pinged you on a soul level, because I know that there are one or two parts that probably really spoke to you more than the others. Take those as clues for yourself, because that's probably what your soul is calling out for. So, my love, I urge you to create some everyday ceremony for yourself, because this is important for every woman. And when you're ready, we can move through these larger transitions and initiations together. And I will keep you posted on what that's going to look like. In the meantime, I am sending you so much love, so many blessings, and I will be thinking of all of you next week when I am in Hawaii. Love to you, baby. Thanks for joining me on this journey to sanctity, sovereignty, and sustainability. You bring such joy to my soul, and I want to hear from you. You can tag me on Instagram at uncorporette or email me anytime at rachel@uncorporette.com. I love to hear from you, and I create for you, so please reach out. And finally, if this episode was meaningful for you, please leave me a review. This is how others will find the podcast. And as you know, it's my mission to activate the divine feminine CEOs I know will change the world. You're one of them, my love. So thanks for being here.